Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. Not always the most serious, we do try to find the most talkable issues of the day and give them a bit more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. And today, stories on cracking down on prostitution and fly tipping.
No one wants to see mattresses or TVs or sofas dumped on their streets.
We also speak to the son of an England football legend about dementia. But we start with jail for a paedophile former scout leader. A warning, child sex abuse is going to be discussed if that's a topic you don't want to hear right now. Well, Richard Burrows, who's now 81, was also a school housemaster, and today he's been jailed for 46 years for close to 100 offences against young boys.
My only regret was that I didn't know more and didn't say more when I was young to protect other people from this man.
That's one of Burrows' victims, who we will hear from shortly. But first, our senior reporter Adam Smith was at Chester Crown Court for us.
The judge said this case could be the most serious he's ever dealt with, calling Richard Burrows despicable, and that if he was 20 years younger, he'd have given him a life sentence. He was meant to face this court 27 years ago, but escaped his crimes by fleeing to Thailand on a new identity, living in what he called paradise. Detective Inspector Ellie Atkinson from Cheshire Police spoke outside court.
He showed no remorse and no understanding of the trauma he's caused so many people. He abused the trust of children in his care as both housemaster and scout leader in the very worst of ways, targeting vulnerable boys for his own sexual gratification.
Well, some of the 24 victims, now mature adults, chose to face Burrows in court. They talked of how his often repeated abuse left them with PTSD, depression, relationship and trust issues, some suicidal. Well, I sat down with one of those victims, abused aged 13 at a Birmingham Scouts Club. James Harvey has chosen to waive his right to be anonymous and started by telling me why he felt he needed to talk about what happened.
The deciding factor was that as part of the original police prosecution back in the 90s that failed when a judge granted Burrows bail and he fled the country for 30 years, was listening to the story of one of the boys that was abused by him over months in a children's home in Cheshire. And the police officer came to visit me in my comfortable house with my family and told me the story of this poor young lad who probably by then was 30, who was living in a miserable hovel on drugs and alcohol, unable to resolve his life. And I just thought for that moment, and for some of my friends, I felt that whilst I felt that I should speak out and show my face, because I think the police also said that it does help. It does help other people to connect with a story that is challenging.
The point that you made as well that struck me was the fact that you were naive and so innocent to the fact of what those kind of that intimacy was, that when you were in that situation that none of you could warn each other because you were so unknown that you didn't have a way of articulating.
Exactly that. I think it's slightly different now, but we literally at 12 years old in the 70s, we were literally innocent and also sexually innocent. We had no idea of what sex was. And so when I was assaulted by Burrows, my understanding of that incident was how far it went with me. I had no imagination that would allow me to see what he would then go on and do with other victims. So because of my naivety and because of our innocence and the innocence of the whole of society, that gave him license and opportunity to do it with almost impunity. But now he's been punished.
Is there any amount of years that will be considered justice?
It's a really hard point. I think the easy answer is no. But I think for lots of the families of the victims, of the police officers, of the jury who spent months working on this trial, of the barristers, the fact that he has got a big sentence that means that he'll probably spend the rest of his life in prison is a big full stop. It's a great thing.
Well, Cheshire Police are urging other victims not to hold back reporting. And there are a number of charities and organisations that can help you with support if you are or have been a victim. Among them, the NAPAC, which can be contacted on 0808 801 0331. Still to come on Behind the Headlines, getting tougher on fly tippers and the issue of railway safety.
So it's about just being in the moment and making sure we're focusing on what we really need to.
But first, jurors in the trial of two men accused of cutting down the Sycamore Gap tree have been shown a video of the alleged moment it was felled with a chainsaw. Historic England archaeologist Tony Wilmot also gave evidence, saying it was a much-loved place, a place of marriage proposals and family visits. Our reporter Sophie Green has been at Newcastle Crown Court for us today and can recap what we heard.
Well, the courtroom has been packed for the third day in a row as day two of the prosecution got underway. The jury was shown a grainy police-enhanced video, which the prosecution say is from Daniel Graham's phone, showing the tree being cut down. Then this afternoon, the court was played voice notes recovered from a mobile phone alleged to have been sent between Graham and Carruthers, discussing the media coverage of the incident.
I'd like to see launch an operation like we did last night. I don't think he's got the minerals.
That's a clip from the audio which was played in the courtroom earlier, which prosecutors say is the voice of Adam Carruthers. Carruthers and Graham, both from Cumbria, denied charges of criminal damage and the trial continues.
To a story we've been following over recent months in Scotland now on assisted dying. In the latest development, we've heard how a vote to legalise assisted dying there should be a matter of conscience for individual members of the Scottish Parliament. A new report's been published on a bill which would allow terminally ill adults to seek help in ending their lives. Our Scotland political editor, Alan Smith, has the details.
Well, members of Holyrood's Health Committee have spent the last few months speaking with experts and campaigners on either side of the debate, but in the end, they're not going to tell MSPs how to vote.
We made no overall recommendations on how MSPs should vote on the general principles of the bill.
But isn't that the role of a committee to come to some sort of viewpoint?
So the committee has heard a lot of evidence from a variety of stakeholders, and it was a unanimous decision of the cross-party committee that we make no recommendations about how to vote the general principles.
SNP MSP Claire Haughey chairs the committee, but its report does say several areas like coercion or the role of health professionals will need to be looked at further if the bill passes its first big parliamentary vote. Scottish Lib Dem MSP Liam MacArthur is behind the bid to change the law and doesn't believe this report will change many minds.
Ultimately, I think more and more MSPs have probably come to a decision already, some keeping the cards close to their chest. But I think the committee's report is a useful contribution to that debate.
So that crucial vote is expected to take place at the Scottish Parliament in a couple of weeks.
We're staying in Scotland for our next story, where police say there's no place to hide for men trying to buy sex on the country's streets. They've launched a new crackdown to stop women being exploited. Colette McGonagall's joined officers in Glasgow, turning the spotlight on prostitution.
Curb crawling will have consequences. The warning to those behind the wheel of cars circling this small inner city square, popular with those looking to buy sex.
It's not your typical dirty old man seeking the services of prostitutes. There's a wide variety, and it would genuinely open your eyes if you've seen it yourself.
This officer, who doesn't want to be named, tells me she's heard all the excuses going well on patrol, like they were asking for directions or looking for the nearest shop to buy biscuits. We're also joined by Superintendent Keith Duncan, who says they'll feel the full force of the law.
Private life, professional life, They'll be charged by the police. They could end up in court. Think hard about whether you're going to go out and seek an individual for a sexual purpose.
The pilot's been trialled in Glasgow, Aberdeen and Dundee, with Police Scotland hoping it'll help drive prostitution out of our cities for good.
Coming up on Behind the Headlines, we're basking in the spring sunshine and we hear from the son of a football legend on dementia. But first, a woman who lost her leg after being hit by a train on a level crossing is supporting a Network Rail safety campaign. Lucy Ruck was using a pedestrian level crossing at Farnborough North Railway Station in North Hampshire when she admits she became distracted. Network Rail says there's been an increase in near-miss incidents in the last 4 years and more people are being distracted by things like mobile phones. Well, Lucy told our regional correspondent Jonathan Richards what happened on the day of her accident.
Just over 30 years ago, I was a regular user of Farnborough North Station. I'd been using the station for about a year. And on this particular morning, the only way to get from one side of the platform to the other is across the track. And I was the first to the little gate and waited for our train to go out. And as our train left the station, a few more people came behind me and then pushed the gate open. And as you tend to do with the flow of people, I went across the track with them. What we didn't realise was the fast train was coming from the other direction at 65 miles an hour. Next thing I know, I sort of look up. And it was right in front of me. I threw myself backwards as I did. My right leg went out in front of me and went under the train and it amputated it. And they found my leg half a mile up the track.
You've seen these stats. There's an increase in the amount of near misses. What's your reaction to what Network Rail are talking about today?
I think it's really important because I think, you know, my accident was 30 years ago. I think I was looking for something in my bag. I think I was pulling out my Walkman at the time or fiddling around with something. We all get distracted in life, don't we? And I think it's about, especially these days with us having like mobile phones in our hands all the time almost, it's like, give these things the full attention they deserve. It's like 10 seconds, put it away or stop looking at it. Focus on what you need to be focusing on. Because it can be really dangerous. We take it for granted. So I was complacent. So it's about just being in the moment and making sure we're focusing on what we really need to.
And we're pleased to report that the level crossing at Farnborough North is now closed and has been replaced with a footbridge. Drones and mobile CCTV devices are going to be introduced as part of a major crackdown on fly tipping. The government's plans aim to give local councils more powers and jail terms for people who dump rubbish. Our political editor Georgie Prodromou has more on this.
Well, the government wants councils to crush more vans that have been used to fly tip rubbish and even use drones to track down the vehicles in the first place. This won't mean more money for councils, though, as they've said the money from the previous budget can be used. I spoke to Environment Secretary Steve Reid earlier.
Communities feel furious that they've been buried under an avalanche of rubbish. No one wants to see mattresses or TVs or sofas dumped on their street. So as part of our plan for change, Labour is going to clean up Britain and we want to see councils adopt much more aggressive tactics using the latest technology like drones to hunt down fly tippers so we can seize and crush their vans as a punishment for those who are doing it and a deterrent to those who are thinking of doing it.
But the Tories argue there's nothing new about these plans. Here's Shadow Environment Secretary Victoria Atkins.
The measures that they've announced today are either a repeat of what is already happening. So the ability to seize cars and vans has been the law for the last 35 years using drones. Well, again, that's been in use since 2021, a 5-year maximum sentence for persistent fly tippers. Well, we Conservatives put that down as an amendment a couple of weeks ago and Labour voted against it. So this is a rubbish set of announcements about rubbish. And for the poor residents of Birmingham who are having to live with this rubbish, live with the rats and having a situation that the health secretary himself has described as a threat to public health.
It's now been 8 weeks of bin strikes in Birmingham.
Next this evening, and a group of legendary footballers are calling on MPs to tackle what they say is a scandalous lack of support for players diagnosed with dementia. World Cup winner Sir Geoff Hurst and former England star Kevin Keegan were among those who met MPs in the Commons. With more, here's our reporter Liam Arrowsmith.
This is all about supporting the families of footballers diagnosed with dementia after spending years on the pitch. The condition is being increasingly linked to heading the ball, and the campaign group Football Families for Justice justice, so the sport should offer more help. It's headed up by John Stiles, the son of Manchester United star Nobby Stiles, who was diagnosed with a type of dementia associated with repeated head impacts. He says care costs are forcing some families to sell their homes.
Between 16 and 27,000 players are going to get dementia. My dad's care costs were £125,000 a year, but they're not doing enough. Football is that rich. There's billions of pounds in football. They could sort this out tomorrow, but they don't want to.
Now, in 2023, the Players' Union set up an initial £1 million fund to help families with dementia care. But John's dismissed that as a PR exercise, saying it's not good enough, and he wants MPs to help with calls for more money.
We managed to get some MPs on our side, but the other MPs, they're all being told how everything's okay, but it's not. So we've got to get to them and explain what's really going on. It shouldn't be for the NHS and the taxpayer to be footing the bill for these poor footballers. Football's got enough money to do it. It's football's problem. Football should own it.
The FA says it's putting money into researching links between dementia and football and insists it's taken proactive steps to reduce the risk.
And finally, as there's nothing we like talking about more than the weather, we're going to end by doing just that. Most of the UK has seen warm sunshine in the mid-20s this week, and it could get even hotter tomorrow. We're at the seaside in County Londonderry in a moment, but the mini spring heatwave comes with a number of warnings. Pharmacists are reminding people about the importance of sun cream, staying hydrated, and how to deal with hay fever.
Always good to have antihistamines in there. Certainly the tablet form are useful. The eye drops and the nasal sprays are for those that know that they particularly suffer, that may need a course of different types of medication just to help them through the next 4 to 6 weeks.
That's pharmacist Ashley Cohen, while there are also the usual but very important water safety messages, in particular around cold water shock. Here's some advice from the RNLI's Gabby Batchelor.
Remember to check the weather, the tide times, and if you don't understand them, please check some local advice. The water can still be very cold at this time of year, so just remember that as air temperatures start to warm, the water can still remain quite cold, and that can increase the risk of cold water shock. If you or anyone else gets into trouble in the water, float to live. Tilt your head back with your ear submerged and just try to relax and control your breathing.
And so once we are all safe, why not head to the beach, which is exactly what our reporter Chelsea Keeley has done in County Londonderry today, where she's found businesses have been reaping the benefits of the warm weather.
Here in Port Stewart, locals have been enjoying the sun, sea and of course some ice cream. Annie from Rogan's Gelato along the promenade says their famous flavours are flying off the shelf.
Recently it's been our Dubai chocolate one, which we did because obviously that went viral on TikTok, so we did Dubai chocolate. It's been, yeah, really hard to keep in the cabinet actually.
While over at Benoan Strand Beach, Tina King, who runs an ice cream van, told me she's been preparing for a busy spell since last week.
From the minute it started, we were like, right, get the extra manuals, get the water, get the mix in, get the cones on, so it's all sitting there ready to go.
Temperatures are set to dip though over the coming days, so these people are making the most of the heat now.
Just enjoying every minute of it and hope it lasts for weeks and weeks. And so I think we all deserve a little bit of sunshine.
This is just glorious. Who needs to go abroad with the weather like this?
Just think it's amazing because, you know, when it's the last few weeks there, it was sort of miserable and wet. And it sort of lifts the spirits of the people anyway as well with the good weather.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.